Welcome into the Unnamed MMA Podcast. Shane Orling sitting in for Adam Abdallah, Jordan Sherwood here as always. Top MMA handicapper here at ESPN 1000. Jordan, how you doing? Happy to be here.
Well, top MMA handicapper. Like, I'm the only MMA handicapper.
By default, you're the best.
I'm good. I'm doing well. Happy that you're filling in for Adam Abdallah. He gets his fill of food on his New York trip. I don't know if you've been following him on Instagram.
Yeah, he's doing Carmen's little pizza tour.
Yeah, doing the pizza tour, but coupling in a little bit of sushi there as well. I've seen some photos. I mean, I joked online, and not to his face, obviously just online, so he doesn't see me. He's, you know, going to New York as a featherweight, coming back as a welterweight. You know, so he's going to go up a couple of weight classes.
He's getting his dad bod ready to go.
He is. But happy for him to take a little break, and I appreciate you. You're filling in. You're the hardest working man at ESPN Chicago right now, so I appreciate you taking some time.
I don't know if that's true, but compliments come in all shapes and sizes. I'll take that one.
Well, you need it after I saw you following the Yankees-Guardians game last night, which was an epic end. I had the Yankees on the money line. I should have figured out a way to cash it out with two outs in the ninth, but couldn't do it. Didn't do it.
David Fry of the Guardians is my number one mortal enemy right now. That guy aced out the Tigers with a two-run homer in the ALDS in Game 4, basically ended the series, and then last night cost me money on the Yankees. Yeah. I hate him. He's horrible.
I don't like too many people on the Guardians, and yeah, he's definitely up there. So.
He's a bad human being. The good news is, Jordan, you can make this money back in UFC Fight Night, because you got four fights that I can tell you're just off the walls to talk about.
Well, look, I think there's going to be some entertaining matchups for sure. There's opportunity, obviously, with each of these matchups to make some money. It's not some of the bigger time names. We've got a huge fight card next weekend, UFC 308, that takes place in Abu Dhabi. That's got a title fight on it, but nonetheless, some intriguing matchups. So, where do you want to start? You want to start at the top, bottom? I'll let you play quarterback here.
All right, let's start Darren Elkins and Daniel Pineda, and it's a short favorite here. Darren Elkins -114, minus money on the underdog. Pineda -106.
Yeah, I mean, it's an intriguing matchup because the two guys that have been in the UFC or been in mixed martial arts for quite some time yet haven't crossed paths. Darren Elkins is such a fun fighter to watch. I mean, Shay, he's got the damage tattooed on his chest.
Hell yeah.
And he's known as the damage because he takes significant damage in every single fight that he comes in. I mean, there's a joke that if you sneeze on him, he'll bleed, and that's exactly the case. Lacerations galore for him, but he keeps coming after you. He's kind of like the Terminator in that sense. You know, he's not an overwhelming striker, but he's got outstanding cardio. He's tough as nails, and he's got some very good submissions to his game. I've always enjoyed the fights that he's been in, and he looked great his last time out, a third-round submission win over TJ Brown. You know, he does lose to some of the upper echelon competition in the featherweight and lightweight divisions, but I don't think that that's the case. And his opponent, Daniel Pineda, another guy that is a veteran of the sport, he's been in the UFC, actually had two stints in the UFC, well-rounded. But a guy that I guess if Darren Elkins might be like a slow starter and gets better late in the fight, Pineda is a bat out of hell and very good early on in the fight. And I think they cancel each other a lot in a lot of areas in the striking. But my preference is on Darren Elkins. I think he's got more ways to win. He's going to lean on that cardio and maybe be able to lock in a submission late in this fight. He does have submission wins. Pineda's been subbed six times in his 16 losses in his mixed martial arts career. And I know you're always looking for angles, Shay. This might be actually one also to bet live with Elkins losing the first round. Maybe he takes some significant damage. You know, Pineda lands something strong, not able to finish him out of there. And then Elkins, as he always does, you know, comes back, relies on that cardio, works in those takedowns, and either maybe locks in a submission late in the fight or just wins the fight outright. So bottom line is I do like him on the money line straight up at $1.10. I think that's fair, and I think he's the right side for this matchup of two veterans.
But if you get that plus money after the first round, if he does lose, that's the best buy spot. And I got to the fact that this dude is willing to take damage and has damage tattooed on him, as badass.
Yeah. I mean, he is a badass. I mean, he's been in wars and he bleeds in basically every fight. And it's funny too, because he got that tattoo like midway through his career. So like he'd already taken a lot of damage and then decided, well, I'm taking a lot of damage, might as well get a ridiculous tattoo. Like, and it's not like a small one, Shay. Like, I don't know if you have tattoos or not. It's not like a small one or not. It's like significantly, like big tattoo
all the way across the chest,
exactly, and like big font letters too. So, but I love seeing him fight. I think also, you know, you mentioned it, like, again, waiting until the live bet happens, well, then you run the risk of, like, if he has a very good first round, then, you know, obviously the odds,
right, you miss it.
So,
yeah,
so maybe it's almost like Elkins to win over 1.5 rounds. So it's like, you know, he's a slow starter. He's more of a finisher later in the fights. You know the fight's going to likely go into the second and third round. So maybe a couple Darren Elkins to win plus over 1.5. And that gives you maybe a plus price on Elkins winning the fight.
All right, great stuff. Let's move on. Charles Johnson and Sumedhar Jay is the next fight up. Charles Johnson minus 225 on the money line.
Yeah, and he should be the favorite with, you know, I don't know if maybe this much might be too much juice to lay there at him in the favorite, but he's a very entertaining fighter in the flyweight division. Very good boxing, very fluid movement. Fights very similarly to Bobby Green, a guy that's fought, you know, forever in the UFC, a lightweight, you know, fighter. A great shit talker is Charles Johnson.
Hell
inside,
yeah,
the octagon. So, you know, he'll try and get in your head as well a bit. Interesting haircut. I know I'm going off the ball here. Interesting haircut. His entire head is shaved except for a little section on the end. I don't know. So he doesn't get lost. But Sumedhar is a guy that packs tremendous power for the flyweight division. A guy that, if you know, if he touches you in the right way, you're going to sleep. You know, 13 of his 16 wins have come via knockout. The issue is that he hasn't been able to find that and utilize his strength since he's gotten to the UFC. He's struggled with guys that have taken him down and looked to submit him. And that's the case in point. The last two fights, Matt Schnell and Tim Elliott, two guys that did submit him and choked them both out. But here's the thing. Like, Charles Johnson's not that fighter. Charles Johnson's going to give him a stand-up fight. Charles Johnson's going to want this fight on the feet and not work in the wrestling, which is very interesting and in a tough proposition for a guy in Charles Johnson that I think is trying to get into that top 10. You got to be well-rounded to do that, particularly in the flyweight division that has just some nasty fighters, you know, as a champion and Alexander Pantoja, and then obviously the guys that are competing at 125. So for me, actually, Shay, this is going to be a stay-away fight. If the odds come down on Charles Johnson, I'll look to play him. I'm going to want him to at a $1.85, $1.90. But at 225, I don't like him there. I think there's too much of a risk for Sumedhar to land something that's a fight-changing strike. And there's not enough in Charles Johnson's game for me to say, okay, well, he's going to be smart and take this fight to the ground and try and submit Sumedhar where he's struck.
Can I ask you then, like, plus 750, method of victory, Sumedhar by knockout or TKO? It's obviously a long shot. You're getting plus 750 on it. Like, you're not expecting that to win, but beer and pizza money, if you think that this fight could end if Sumedhar lands that one punch, isn't that kind of an angle you could take on a long shot play?
I'm totally fine with that. I don't see Sumedhar winning like a three-round decision fight where it's, you know, a striking battle. And
you're just begging for one punch to land and end the fight.
Exactly. And quite frankly, if you go back and watch the fight against Matt Schnell, like, he actually stopped Matt Schnell probably twice in that fight, but Matt Schnell miraculously survived and was able to like turn the tables and then choke out Sumedhar. So he does have the power. He does have the power to change fights and end fights. So yeah, I agree with that, Shay. If you're looking for maybe a little bit more value, that pizza money, you want to have pizza night at the house, yeah, you take him to win via knockout.
You're going to be watching Texas Georgia while you're watching a lot of this stuff. You want to have a little pizza money, a little extra stuff to get the food for all the people in your house and to bet Texas Georgia.
Yeah, I love it. I love where your head is at in it, but it's certainly a risky play because I think Charles Johnson does win the fight, but why not have a few nickels there just so you can get some pizza?
Anytime you take plus 750, it's a risky play, but if you get paid for the opinion and you're right, you feel really good about it.
Yeah, you do. You certainly do.
Next fight on the card, Rob Font and Kyler Phillips. Kyler Phillips, a minus 450 money line here.
Yeah, I mean, it's the question is this the passing of the torch? You know, Rob Font has been competing for quite some time. He's always been at the upper echelon, top 10, top five of the bantamweight division. But at this the point where he finally succumbs to that next young up-and-comer. You know, Rob Font, outstanding boxer, you know, strong cardio, changed camps, actually went up to TriStar for this camp. That's where, you know, George St. Pierre made his Hall of Fame career training there. So Firas Zabi will be in the corner of Rob Font, which is, you know, a change for Rob, you know, moving out of the Northeast for this fight camp. So we'll see if it pays dividends. The question is Kyler Phillips ready for this top 10 moment? You know, he also comes from an outstanding camp, the MMA Lab in Arizona. This guy is extremely well-rounded, is able to work in takedowns a lot, which has been one of the issues that has plagued Rob Font during this losing streak. The question I guess I have about Kyler Phillips is, you know, is his cardio going to hold up? He has tired in some fights before, which is a little bit of a concern because Rob Font can push the pace definitely three rounds. We know he could push it for five rounds. But if you ask yourself, like, is Rob Font on the decline? I mean, the losses are Jose Aldo, Marlon Vera, Corey Sanhagen, and Deiveson Figueiredo. You're talking about Jose Aldo, probably the greatest featherweight of all time, competing at bantamweight. Marlon Vera, Deiveson Figueiredo fought for the championship. Figueiredo, former champion at flyweight, and Corey Sanhagen fought for the title. So Rob Font's only losing two guys that are fighting for championships. Is Kyler Phillips ready to fight for a championship? Definitely not. Will he in a year or two? Maybe. So here's the thing. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to get those odds down from -425 and just take Kyler Phillips to win via decision. I don't think he's got the striking or the submission game to get Rob Font out of there inside the distance. So, Shea, I think just get that down to like $1.25, $1.20, and he wins the fight, two rounds to one, and gets his hand raised as a decision win.
Yeah, the -450 is immediately a non-starter for me. You got to lay too much to make that valuable at all. I was going to ask for the angle, so that's a decent way of approaching it. It's the favorite for the method of victory. Kyle Phillips by points, -125, the screen I'm looking at right now. That's the way to go.
Yeah, but it's also the worst way to watch a fight because you don't want it to end.
You're asking for no real decision action. You're just asking for this fight to go the distance.
Just stare at each other for 5 minutes or 10 minutes. It's absolute. I hate it when I have to recommend it, but it's like, look, we're trying to find the value there. And look, the odds indicate that they believe this is there's not going to be a finish. I mean, over 2.5.
Yeah.
250 -250 latest check up at FanDuel. So like I think Kyler Phillips is going to be ready. I think that he is going to take this next step. I don't think Rob Font's done with his career, but I just feel like this is a bad matchup for him against a young up-and-comer in Kyler Phillips.
Well, you know, it's more fun than losing is winning. It's very easy. Yeah. It's more fun to win than anything else. Like, you could have bet the over in Ohio State Notre Dame last year. Did you have a good time when it was 17-14 final? Probably wish you bet the under. It's a less fun way to watch the game, but if you win, you feel better about it at the end.
Right.
So who gives a fuck, man, if it's fun or not?
Money is money. Yeah,
just bet the best value. Last fight on the card, Anthony Hernandez and Michelle Pereira. Pereira +114 on the money line, Hernandez -140.
Yeah, this is a fun fight. I'm really amped up for this fight. These guys actually were supposed to fight at Noche UFC in the Spear, but to help this card out, the UFC moved it to a couple of weeks later so they could headline it. Great thing for us because now we get a five-round fight against these surging middleweights. Hernandez has won 5 fights in a row. Pereira has won 8 fights in a row. Anthony Hernandez, Fluffy, that's the worst nickname for him because he's anything but, like, extremely well-rounded fighter, excellent submissions, and he really burst onto the scene when he submitted Rodolfo Vieira a couple of fights ago. Rodolfo Vieira, Shea, is probably the most credentialed jiu-jitsu practitioner to ever step foot in the UFC, in the octagon, and Anthony Hernandez submitted him. So it's like, I just beat you at your own sport. And he did it in impressive fashion. So he's got good striking as well. And if he gets this fight to the ground, he's going to have a decisive advantage. The question is he going to be able to get it to the ground? Because Michelle Pereira is an enormous middleweight, a very flashy, powerful striker, utilizes capoeira. You know, that's that dance fighting from Brazil. I mean, this is a guy that's matured through his tenure in the UFC, burst onto the scene doing like cartwheels and backflips off the cage. He got humbled because his cardio shot down because he literally danced too much on his way to the cage and his cardio gave out. So, but since that point, he's become reserved. And the thing about it is he, like I talked about earlier on with the Elkins-Pineda fight, Pereira starts extremely strong, fast. Hernandez is a little bit of a slow starter, and I think that's going to be different. So again, it's not like one or the other where I'm black and white with it. I think in the Elkins-Pineda matchup, it favors Elkins being a slow starter. In this one, I like Pereira having the advantage on the feet, the power. Hernandez is going to struggle to get this enormous man to the ground and control him because he's got unbelievable athleticism for his size and his fighting style. So. Yeah. The other thing, Touche, is, and I've talked to several handicappers throughout the week about this, we all are boggled and mind blown that actually Michelle Pereira is the underdog. We don't get it. We don't understand it. We think the odds should be flipped. So all day on Michelle Pereira at plus money, just straight up on the money line. Don't need to get cute with a knockout or an underplay or anything like that. At plus money, at plus 114, I'm going to take it. I think he wins the fight.
Well, I was just going to ask you that because I looked at the method of victory, and it's got Hernandez at plus 190 by submission, but Pereira at plus 185 by knockout. And that's actually the best odds available, the favorite, rather, for method of victory. So they're telling you the most likely way the fight ends is Pereira by knockout, yet he's the dog. When I see that, I'm like, why don't I just play the plus 114 money line?
Yeah, exactly. Because quite frankly, Pereira's not just a knockout artist. He just proved that like he'll hurt you club and sub, and then wrap up a guillotine or something like that, which I could certainly see happening as well. And Pereira to win by submission is plus 1,000. So like you're 10-1 odds on that one. But bottom line for me is I just think he wins the fight. I think he's the better fighter. He's been in there with better competition, more ways to win, and I just struggle unless we're talking about Hernandez is going to really try and put like a grueling, grinding fight for three rounds and then get Pereira out of there into the championship rounds, relying on, again, that Pereira's cardio is not going to last and last well. But I just don't see it. I think Pereira is a special athlete, a special talent, and I think he gets a showcase opportunity with this fight and then his next fight after this.
I'm going to ride with you on this. I'll take Pereira plus 114 to win the fight. I think that just the way I'm looking at the odds, the way this is all shaken out, certainly the way you're capping it, that feels like the right way to do it.
Yeah, that's how I feel about it. I'm pretty strong about it as well. And he's cashed, several times as an underdog before as well. So I'll take him to win the fight until he proves to me otherwise that he can't handle that type of pressure or that type of submission game. I'm gonna ride with him.
Anything else you want to get to before we wrap this up?
The interesting thing I saw today, and always pay attention to the weigh-ins. It wasn't a fight that I was actually paying a lot of attention to up until I saw it. So Jocelyn Edwards, big time favorite. She's minus 265. Struggled with weight today. Missed her weight limit by a couple of pounds, and then didn't look good on the face-offs. And that was several hours after she weighed in. Frustrated, she pushed to Maris Vidal. So I put a half a unit on Vidal at plus 205 to win the fight. Just thinking there's something going on with Edwards' injury, bad weight cut. You never like to see that. So a small play on Vidal to win.
Cool. Why don't you recap the card and we'll wrap it up?
Yep. So like I said, just Vidal to win. That's on the prelims. But to open up the main card, Darren Elkins on the money line straight up against Pineda. No play on the Sumaderji Johnson, but I'm on with you. Maybe a small little play on Sumaderji by knockout. That should be fun at plus 750. Phillips to win the fight against Rob Font in the co-main event via decision, minus $1.25. And then Pereira to win on the money line straight up, plus 114 against Anthony Hernandez.
Good stuff. Jordan, always a pleasure to fill in for Adam when he chooses to go on one of his foodie vacations.
You're the best, Shay. I appreciate you filling in, and you're always welcome anytime.
This has been another edition of the Unnamed MMA Podcast on ESPN 1000.